Today is the 14th Sunday after Pentecost. The epistle for the Mass today is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Galatians. Brethren, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are contrary one to another, so that you do not the things that you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are fornication, uncleanness, immodesty, luxury, idolatry, witchcrafts, enmities, contentions, emulations, wrath, quarrels, dissensions, sects, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I foretell you, as I have foretold you, that they who do such things shall not obtain the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is charity, joy, peace, patience, benignity, goodness, longanimity, mildness, faith, modesty, constancy, chastity. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified their flesh with devices and concupiscences. The gospel for the Mass of Day is taken from the gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 6. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will sustain the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say to you, be not solicitous for your life, what you shall eat, nor for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than the meat, and the body more than the raiment? Behold the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor do they reap, nor gather into barns, and your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are not you of much more value than they? And which of you by taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? And for raiment, why are you solicitous? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They labor not, neither do they spin. But I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory was arrayed as one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more you, O ye of little faith? Be not solicitous, therefore, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the heathen seek. For your Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Seek ye therefore first the kingdom of God and his justice, and all these things shall be added unto you." Thus are the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today we see this opposition that is presented in the Gospel of the, and also the epistle of the opposition of the spirit and the flesh, and the fact that we cannot serve both God and mammon. It's important for us in this day and age, especially to think about these things and consider these things, because there is this opposition, which is no less true today. In fact, perhaps it's even more true today as we live in this world, in this modern world, which treasures the ideas of comfort, of pleasure, of ease of life. They are held high in high esteem, and everything is geared towards that. It's interesting to think of these things, too, with regard to even the definition of what sin is. Sin, by its very nature, as you know, is an offense against God. But in what it is in itself, is described by the theologians as a turning away from God and a turning towards creatures. It's to use creatures as an end in themselves, as not as a means towards God. I think in today's world, you could even go further with the way things are and the way people are today and the way that they value created things to the point where they're an end in themselves. The problem of our society, which is bent on things like materialism makes the created thing such that not only is it valued in itself, it actually becomes an obstacle to one seeing the things of God. Things of God are not even seen anymore. They're blotted out from the vision of men. In fact, even when you give a sermon like this, you wonder how many people, because of their attachment to created things, and because they have this block that blinds them, how many people even that listen to sermon are such that they are oblivious to the things that are being said? And they don't realize how serious these offenses are, the offenses that in which we commit, which offend God. Saints would say that, you know, even God, we would faint if we knew the seriousness of even venial sin. You know, people ask a question, is it mortal? Is it a mortal sin? Yes, you need to know that, because of course if it's a mortal sin, you can't go to receive the other sacraments until you go to confession. But the idea of the fact that it offends God should be something that should bother us, that we should be concerned with even venial sin, that we should avoid not only mortal sin, but also serious and intentional venial sin. So we need to understand these things that are such that they become the obstacles to our salvation, to our sanctification. They're out there, and of course, anything that should keep us from being such that we're comfortable, that we seek pleasure, that we have no inconvenience, you know, these kinds of, anything that stops that, we need to avoid according to the mind of the modern world. We seek after these things, and we want to be just like everybody else in the world. And we want to be such that anything that where we have to be such that we have to be subject to self-denial, where we think of the other before ourselves, where we try to subdue the flesh to keep it subject to the spirit. These things, kinds of things are opposed to what the modern world is all about, and people don't seek after these things. It causes a terrible problem with regard to the spiritual life. And we live in this world. We live in a world that's immersed in this. You know, it makes it so that it's hard to live in this kind of situation. We have to be in this world, but not of it. We have to be such that we create a situation in our own personal lives, in our lives of our families, where we are such that we understand the problem, that we are careful not to be infected by the problem. And that contrary-wise, we work to do what St. Paul says we need to do, to practice the virtues, to practice those things which will lead us to heaven. Evidence of the fact that we have this problem even amongst ourselves is when we think about just the amount of time we spend doing certain things. And the fact that we find certain things maybe distasteful, and we spend a lot of time doing things that we find more desirable. For instance, how much time do we really spend in union with God throughout the day? Yes, we come to church on Sunday. Yes, we maybe say our rosary. Maybe we say our morning and evening prayers. Okay. All right, so you think about percentage-wise of what the week is that we spend with God. Maybe 5%? 10%? But we don't think anything of spending hours watching movies. Hour or two, we can while away the hours just fine. We can spend hours watching a sporting event. We can do all kinds of other things that will take much more of our time, and we find them very enjoyable. We should find that it's such that it is very spiritually satisfying to spend time with our Lord, that we shouldn't find it a drudgery, that we shouldn't find it as, well, it's something that's an obligation that we have to endure. Okay? How much time do people spend, even like, for instance, looking on their computers with Facebook and all the other kinds of things, their video games, all the other kinds of things. And they can while away the hours. All of a sudden, hours pass by, and they don't even realize that the hours have gone. Is it that way with our spiritual life? Do we lose track of time spending time with our Lord? Oh, we better leave. We have spent here a couple hours here. I don't think so. That's not usually the case. It's not usually the case. We don't realize the value of what we have. We don't realize what a precious thing it is to have our Lord with us, to receive our Lord in Holy Communion, that we make an adequate preparation beforehand, that we make a proper thanksgiving afterwards. These things we need to do, and we need to, of course, learn to appreciate the things of God. And these kinds of things that are of God need to be nurtured and fortified, and they're nurtured and fortified by what we read. To read the lives of the saints, to read the lives of those who are close to God, to involve ourselves in thinking about these things through our meditations. They help us to appreciate the things of God. You know, oftentimes because we are so caught up in just utilitarian ideas, we get this done, check this off the list, and then we go on to other things. We fail to appreciate that. Is that what you do when you're dealing with those whom you love? Well, I made supper for my spouse. Check that off the list. Got that done. It was his birthday the other day. Got a birthday card. Chick, got that off the list. That's done. That's somehow the way we treat the things of God. We act as if it's some sort of a checklist that we've got this done. Instead of realizing that it's something that we enjoy doing, that we should have a certain spiritual enjoyment in doing it. If we're not such that we have a certain spiritual happiness that results from spending time with our Lord, there's a problem. We're being blinded by the things that are around us, the material things, the material pleasures, and the material concerns. These are the problems that we're facing and that we need to look at and to need to address. You know, if we are such that we are in love with God, that we truly love Him as we ought, which our Lord says we need to love God with all of our mind, our soul, our heart, and our strength, well, then the time we spend with our Lord is not just something we check off the list, but something that we have a certain happiness in doing, and that we need to have Him first. We need to make Him first. All the other things will come into place if that's done. It is such that we need to appreciate the things of God. We need to appreciate all of the things that He has done for us, and we need to show our love for Him and spend time with Him. It's not that we need to go through a certain set of rote formulas. Yes, we say our rosary and those kinds of things, fine, but of course there's a meditative part of it also. But there's just a certain time that we need to spend with our Lord. One time St. John Vianney was noticing years that when he was parish priest at Ars, he noticed that there was one man who would come to the church and he would spend an hour or so, hour or two in the church every day. And he wasn't exactly the most educated of individuals. He was just kind of a simple farmer who would come and spend an hour or so a day, every hour to a day, every day. And he just asked him, he says, well, what are you doing when you come to church? He just honestly asked, you know, he spends that time, what are you doing? He says, I look at God and God looks at me. And that was all he was there. He was there just to spend time with God, to spend time with our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. We need to appreciate those things that God wants to be with us. He's here 24/7 just so that when we come, He's here for us. and we begrudgingly give him an hour or two a week. That's not the right disposition. We need to change that. It's important for us to understand this. We understand that we need to have our priorities readjusted. If people in the world would really understand what the fact of the matter was, the parking lot would be jam-packed. People would be piling into the church like they pile into a stadium to go to a sporting event. Think about the thousands and thousands of people who go to sporting events. And then the percentage-wise, the few number that come to see our Lord. And it's such that we will be such that by so doing, by keeping our priorities straight, by doing the things that we need to do, we will be able to accomplish those things that are needed as well. The end of the gospel is very fitting and very important for us to understand as well. It says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his justice, and all these things shall be added unto you." When he talks about justice, they talk about the fact that we give to God his due. Justice is a virtue where we give to another what is due to him. And justice here means with regard to God. So we give first the things to God what are his. We do him honor. We do what he wants. We aspire to the things of God. We have our priorities straight with regard to God. It's important for us to understand this, to realize that this is important indeed, that this is what we need to do. Our life here is only a pilgrimage which is meant to end by reaching God in heaven. And so we need to live this life as pilgrims, as ones who are travelers, ones who are meant to reach God. So let us try to, as we come to, of course, there's a new school year starting. Routine will start up with the schedules and activities for many families. Let's try to keep the priorities straight. Let's try to work to please God, to realize the benefits that God has given to us by his presence with us, that we appreciate his presence with us, that we love him as he ought with all of our being, and to carry out those things that we need to do according to the fact that we are doing his will. We want to do his will. We want to please him so that we can, of course, by doing so, we can do what God is asking of us in this life so as to be united to him both in this life and in the future in the next as well. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.